Well, amen. Good morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. I've prayed extra for those of you who are hoping for Brother Mark. I get it. I understand. If you have your Bibles, turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And then God gave us fingers to mark places in the Bible. So we'll look at a second scripture also. We'll launch from these two, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. As I speak on this subject this morning, the unseen things of the world. The unseen things of the world. I want to thank our pastor, generous as he is, for the invitation to preach God's Word. Many of you are aware that I can't be with you usually on Sunday because of my ministry obligation, my commitment, my opportunity to serve our Lord in a healthcare chaplaincy field, and I have a commitment typically on Sunday mornings. And if that electronic leash of mine does not trip, which you and I know is a pager, I'll get to preach once in a while in the chapel service at the hospital. But the pager rules. So today we'll just get a chance to preach. So appreciate being with you. I wish that you would keep the church in your prayers for the next several coming months. I know you're faithful to do that. Please remain faithful to do that. We're about to partake, embark rather is the word, for life groups coming up this fall. Lord has already appointed someone to head that up for the church. And in life groups, different now from in-home Bible studies. How many of us my age and older remember in-home Bible studies in Baptist life? This is a little bit different. The church grows larger by growing smaller. Life groups give opportunity for the church to grow relationally. And every function of a New Testament church, evangelism, fellowship, outreach, mission work, ministry, and discipleship is accomplished by life groups. So we embark on that. The Lord will tell us more as He reveals to us more. So just keep that in your prayers. Wonderful, wonderful opportunity coming up for ministry. And we're going to get started this fall. We'll crawl before we walk. And we'll walk before we run, but I'm trusting the Lord will get glory. Okay? In our scripture this morning, we see the last few words of a dying man. My friends, very few opportunities do you and I have to be at the bedside of someone who's dying. Moreover, very few of us have the opportunity to be impacted by someone's last few words. Paul has written to his protege. It's recorded for us in Timothy. We get the opportunity to read it today and learn from it. And then Paul has mentioned some things to the church at Corinth that we'll be able to do the same. Take a look at that as well. But the words of a dying man are significant. I wondered what to preach today, told Pastor Mark what the Lord finally settled in my heart. And in a few minutes, we'll be taking a confession of faith. I said, now, Pastor, I know as Baptist we're not creedal, but I'd like to do a confession of faith in Christ today. He said, have at it. And we'll be doing that. We'll be building our list, 14 items in our confession of Christ by faith. And then that center panel of your program, your bulletin, just go ahead and find that now because you'll be writing momentarily. And it'll help you to hear it and put it down on paper, okay? By the way, you all remember the criteria. Has to be God's word, has to first speak to me before you hear it from me. And I never go too long because I always quit when I'm finished. Can I get an amen over here, Larry? Do you have your place? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning at verse 6. And those who are able, will you stand for the reading of God's word? And we'll move to 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, and then I'll pray and then we'll preach, all right? For I am ready, the Apostle Paul says. Pardon me. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Interesting, isn't it? It's kind of like he's at the airport or at the railroad station. He's ready to go. Are you ready to go? Hey, you're ready if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we run out here in front of a semi-tractor trailer. But that means we're ready if we know Jesus. But you have to know Jesus. By the way, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus or you don't think you know Jesus, I've got good news for you. God wants to save your soul this very day. He'll do it today. You'll put aside your pride. You'll put aside your rationale and reasoning. And you'll come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance, through faith and trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. He wants to save your soul today. This message I'll be speaking momentarily is for the believers in the house today. You're not a believer. Listen to what you're missing. And become a believer before you leave the church house. You don't want to leave God's house today lost. And God doesn't want you to either. So here's Paul. He's talking about dying as if it's a departure at CVG. My, my, my. I have fought the good fight, he says. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. Now, by the way, you know by now that I believe we're in the last days of the last days. Our Lord's return is imminent in my view. Many folks have thought that throughout the centuries, you understand. But that's just what I believe, okay? Hey, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for you and me. Hey, I want him to come back. But hey, I've also said this. Gee, I'd like to grow old with Louise. Gee, I'd like to see what that life is like without that commute. Maybe you've said, gee, I'd like just a little while longer to see my grandkids grow up. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for us who love his appearing. Paul knew that, and in his departure, in his last days, he talked about that. Now, turn over to the Corinthians passage, okay? 2 Corinthians 4. Because if I'm going to speak on the unseen world, we need to see what the Word of God says about it. Look at verse 16. By the way, my chapter heading says, seeing the invisible. Maybe you have a chapter heading likewise. Therefore, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are temporary, but the things which are not seen. Pardon me. Let me start that verse over. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. That's it. but the things which are not seen are eternal. And may God bless unto us the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in the beauty of holiness, for the tithe and offering, for the gift above and beyond, for the beautiful music, for the wonderful prayers, for the preaching of God's word. We give you praise. And we ask today, Lord, that you visit us in a special way. Touch each and every heart here, won't you, Lord? We're thankful that you have reminded us that you're not asleep at the switch. You never slumber nor sleep. You know everything going on with each of us in this room. We give you praise. We stand in awe. And we're also grateful that you have promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. And that even in our dying moments, you'll be with us. We thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We ask that we can just cast our affections on you for just these next few minutes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Could I tell you what the Word of God reminds us of Paul's light affliction that we just read about? It's another Corinthians reference if you want to just make a quick note. But it talks about Paul's perilous life. I looked up the word perilous. It means danger. We just read the scripture. It says our light affliction. That's what Paul described it. But now listen to what he went through, and tell me he wasn't a man's man or God's man for the moment. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and following. From the Jews, five times, Paul said, I received 40 stripes minus one. Now, why minus one? Because just 39 stripes he would be allowed to live. They were so professional in those days. When they would take those whips and those canes and beat a person, that 39 lashes would beat them within an inch of their life. The 40th one would disembowel a person. Can you imagine? And he endured that five times. Three times I was beaten with rod. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day in the deep. Can you imagine being in an ocean for a day and a night? Boy, the sharks would eat well on me, wouldn't they? Can I get an amen? Verse 26 says, in journeys often of perils of the Gentiles, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and in perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and in weariness and toil, and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now that's the fight that Paul was telling Timothy he fought. That was the faith that Paul was telling Timothy that he kept. That was the exact life that he was describing, the race that he ran and completed the race. Beloved, understand that Paul's words to Timothy are his confession of faith in Christ Jesus. Quite a confession. Will you and I have the same confession when we get to the end of our way? Will we be able to tell everybody we fought the good fight? We kept the faith. We ran the race. Paul's reference to the spiritual world in the Corinthians passage, or the unseen world, is a great reminder to you and me, beloved, that our battle in this old world will crowd out Jesus and put Jesus in a closet in our heart. But the good news is, when we look to the spiritual world, the unseen world, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can endure anything that happens in the physical world. How did Paul get beaten 5 times within an inch of his life? Because he kept his eyes on the unseen things of the world. How did he get shipwrecked 3 times and nearly drowned, but survived? Because he kept his eyes on the unseen things of the world, the Jesus. And what we see in the spiritual world, the unseen world, is got what God wants to determine, listen, how we live in this physical world. You see, the unseen world, the spiritual world, is where Paul realized Christ's power in his life. What did we just sing? On Christ alone, the power of Christ in me. Paul knew that, didn't even know that melody. How about that? Nothing new under this sun, is it? That's what the scripture teaches. But Paul realized the power of Christ in him. And when they started beating Paul, he just kept his eyes on Jesus. When they put Paul in jail, he just started singing praises to the Lord. When he was in the deep, 3 times shipwrecked, Paul was not concerned about how great the size of the waves were. Paul instead was focused on how wonderful Jesus is. And Paul never lost his focus of who Christ was in him and who he was in Christ. I think that's a pretty good blueprint, beloved, for you and me. Hey, I think when you and I are up against the challenges of life, that boss that doesn't want to cooperate, that unresponsive partner, that wayward child, albeit an adult, but has taken a major step away from the things of the Lord. Health issues that come for all of us. Paul said the outward man is deteriorating, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's the key. When you and I live in the unseen world, and stay focused on who Christ is in us, we can live our life like the Apostle Paul. And who is Christ in us? Well, in Colossians 1:27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hey, are you here today without hope? Why? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Then you have the hope of glory. You and I have to learn how to live with the awareness of who we are in Christ and in who Christ is in us. Pardon me. Then we have moved into the unseen world when we do that. And we can face anything. So let's look today at several truths about the unseen world in Christ. Now, this is what the Word of God says to those who are saved. By the way, you've got to know you're saved. I'm 100% sure I'm saved. I'm 100% sure I don't demonstrate my salvation 100% of the time. But this is what the Word of God says for those who are saved. These are the truths that I want you to write on that center panel in your bulletin, okay? The first truth in Christ of the unseen world, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation, and that old things are passed away and all things become new. Praise God.
Isn't that how it's captured in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 for us? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. Here's the second truth of the unseen world in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, your sins have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Now, this would be a good time, Brian, to move to that slide. We're building our list. We're going to put it up on the screen for you, and you can write it on your center panel of your bulletin and have it. Now, that first truth, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The scripture reference is 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. The second truth of the unseen world in Christ. If you are in Christ, your sins have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And the scripture reference is Ephesians 1 and 7. Here's what it says. In him we have redemption, oh man, through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins, according to the riches of his grace. Hey, if you're here today and you don't have that, you can get that. Did you hear what the Word of God says for the person who is saved? In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There came a time in my life, those of you who are saved, there came a time in your life when you realized you needed the Savior. That you came to the end of yourself and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, for the promise of everlasting life, and for the salvation of your soul. How did the songwriter capture it for us? He said it this way, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Listen to this next word. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom with every breath of life I take. I'm loved and forgiven. Back with the living, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Hey, when you are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God says about the unseen world that your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. When I stood condemned, he took my place. Has the Lord taken your place today? He will. He did in an eternity. He did it a few thousand years ago. And all you have to do is accept his gift and appropriate that shed blood. So here's what it means to us, believers, family of God, beloved. When that devil comes and sits on your shoulder and starts to accuse you, you just answer him and say, I've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. And when that devil comes to condemn you, you just answer him and say, I am not the person I used to be. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. You know, I have to remember that from time to time, because I live life. And I was a stinker. Here's the third truth in Christ of the unseen world. Here it is. In Jesus Christ, we have the righteousness in Christ. We have the righteousness in Christ. I am righteous in Christ is the third thing. Here's your scripture reference for that one. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hey, here's what it means. God took your sin and put it on Jesus, and took the righteousness of Jesus and put it on you. And if you're saved, God sees you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now look, I'm not talking necessarily about the practical aspect of the righteousness. I'm talking about the positional aspect of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." I'm so grateful that the only righteousness in heaven will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't want to stand at the end of the way in God's heaven and face the Savior and try to sell my righteousness, which the Word of God says is like filthy rags. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord in a personal way, you're standing saying your righteousness is going to be enough to come into the presence of a holy God. You don't realize that's what you're saying, but that's what you're saying. I know my righteousness is not there. It's not enough. It can't make it. And I'm grateful that when the Lord looks at Thad Griggs, he only sees me covered by his son's shed blood, forgiven in the sight of the Lord. Hallelujah. How do we live in this old stinking physical world where everything is topsy-turvy? I mean everything. We do it by keeping our eyes on the unseen things of this old, of that world. And we take our eyes off of this old world. We realize that we're forgiven of our sin. We realize that we are clothed in His righteousness. I believe this, that when Jesus took your sin, God charged His righteousness to your account. And you're righteous in Jesus Christ. And I believe the Apostle Paul knew that when he was beaten, when he was jailed, when he was shipwrecked. He knew that he was, number one, a new creation in Christ. He knew, number two, he's forgiven of sin. He knew, number three, he received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But he also knew, number four, that your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the question in life is posed, where on earth does God live? We remember that God lived in Adam, but Adam sinned and God left. We remember that God lived in the Holy of Holies of Israel, but Israel sinned and the Shekinah glory of the Lord departed. Well, where on earth does the Lord live? The answer is your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, and you are not your own. You're bought with a price. And here's the scripture to back it for you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I know how Paul lived in that old physical world. He lived in that old physical world because he kept his eyes on the unseen things of the spiritual world. Paul realized the truth of the unseen world. And Paul realized that a new creation, his sins were forgiven. He had the righteousness of Christ. His body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. But Paul also realized the fifth truth in Christ Jesus, that I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Write that down. Number five, I'm not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Romans 8 and 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. See, we must realize in Christ, the flesh has no more power over us. The flesh cannot rule over us unless we give our flesh permission. I guess about every time I eat, I give my flesh permission. Got to church today. Bill Clapper's thinner. Tony's thinner. Last Sunday night, I'm looking at Tommy Armitage. Where are you, Tommy? Went up to kids' camp. He's thinner. Now he's thinner more after mission camp up at Seneca Lake, aren't you, Tom? Okay, God, I get it. I hear you. I've just yet to repent. Anybody else living that way right now? Not about food now. Maybe about food. Would you be honest before the Lord? See, we sin in haste and repent at our leisure, don't we? My sister Gail's staying with us for the summer. She's thinner now. I mean, the Lord's just surrounding me, you know. It's like, does a building have to fall on you, son? I can hear him, you know. Jay, you're thinner. Jay taught us Sunday school at a different church one time, 100 years ago. Jay's been thinner for several years now. Don't get stuck on the illustration, people. Get stuck on what the illustration teaches. We do not have to give in to our flesh. The flesh has no power over us anymore. I've got to remember that also when I lose my temper, when I say something cutting, when I have an attitude against a family member or a church member, or I got to remember that when somebody fusses about my driving ability or lack thereof. Here's the sixth truth of the unseen world in Christ. We have full access to the presence of God the Father. You know, you and I, as a blood-bought believer in Jesus, have something that the Old Testament saints didn't have. We've got full access. And as long as that old veil was over the temple, the Old Testament saints knew they could not get in there. But when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the Word of God says that veil was torn, ripped in two. And God says, you've got all you need to come into my presence. And you've got it through the shed blood of my son, Jesus. Now appropriate that blood and live for the Lord. We have full access to the Father as a believer in Christ Jesus living in the unseen world. And those of us living in the unseen world, we're living already in the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 10, 19 and 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which we consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. It's awesome to realize, beloved, that the veil is torn in two and you and I can live in the presence of a holy God. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord. can do it because Jesus did it for us. Seventh truth of the unseen world in Christ. I am a child of God. How about it? Now the question becomes for you and me, are we living like children of God? Are we living like the kids of the King? Hey, I mean, what does our feelings have to do with it anyhow? You say, I don't feel like I'm a child of God. That has nothing to do with it. We don't live by our feelings. We live by our faith. And the devil will wreak havoc, friends, with your feelings. It's not by my feeling, it's by faith. We're a child of the King. We're a child of God. Forget your feelings. You'll be like a spiritual yo-yo, up and down. Your feelings will lie to you all day long. I love 1 John 3 and 2, your scripture reference, the epistle of John. We love now. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not been yet revealed we shall be, but we shall know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That old poem and song from childhood, I'm a child of the King, I'm a child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm the child of a King. Hallelujah. Start living like a child of God. Start living like a king's kid. You ever watch the news and they talk about the prince and his wife and their new babies and stuff? The old expression, born with a silver spoon in your mouth? Hey, here's the eighth truth in Christ of the unseen world. You are a member of the church of the living God, the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 12 and 27. Now you are the body of Christ and the members individually. We are members of His body and we belong to His church. Now I know just exactly that there have been times where Paul must have felt discouraged. There must have been times when he felt weary and he knew he had pain. But Romans 8 and 37, Paul reveals, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Which brings us to our ninth truth in Christ of the unseen world. You are more than a conqueror. Are you writing it down? Number 9, I am more than a conqueror. See, beloved, if you and I are living in the seen world, we're going to get tossed about by every circumstance in life. But when we live in that unseen world, we realize that we're in Christ, and we realize that Christ is in us. And we realize that we are more than conqueror. Not in the flesh are we more than conqueror, but in Christ we're more than conqueror. Here's the 10th truth. Number 10, you have victory over Satan and all his demons. Captured for us in James 4, 6 through 7. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. I repent and realize that Jesus is Lord of my life. That's submitting to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hey, when you're feeling attacks from the devil, resist him. I can't think of scripture when I'm getting attacked. Sing. I can't hold a tune in a bucket when I get attacked. Pray. I can't pray when I get under attack. I get nervous. Just start saying Jesus. He'll flee. Jesus, 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 come rescue me. Jesus, 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 I'm keeping my eyes on the unseen things. He'll flee. Resist the devil. And if you and I focus on this old seen things, we can have a ton of problems in this world. But when we focus on the unseen things, the spiritual things, we just realize we're just passing on through. And that's what Paul meant when he said to Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul knew, despite the afflictions of life, he's just passing through. And yeah, he got discouraged. And yeah, he realized it was painful being beaten. But he made it through, because he knew he was just passing through. And as he was passing through, he didn't keep his eyes on this old physical world. Instead, he kept his eyes on the unseen things of our Lord. Whew. Paul did not trust his own abilities. He trusted instead of the power in Christ Jesus. You and I don't have to trust our own abilities. We can trust in the power of the Lord Jesus. 11th truth in Christ of the unseen world. We are eternally secure, never going to be lost again. Number 11. I am eternally secure. But now for that to be true, you've got to be sure you're in Christ. Don't want to have false hope. Don't want to have a false religious experience. Only you can know. But friends, if you are in Christ, you're eternally secure. John 3:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one." Paul kept his eyes on the unseen world, friends. And every time he was beaten, with every lash, he just said, "I will never perish." When this old world starts kicking you around, remember, you're never going to perish. You are eternally secure. And the one who's lying to you does not have to be believed. Hey, if I was everything I'm supposed to be in Christ, that's one thing. But that's why they call it a faith journey, don't they? Any of you know me well enough know I'm not there yet. All right, here's the 12th truth of Christ, of the unseen world. You have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Now that speaks a little bit more to folks my age and older, doesn't it? But 1 Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God," verse 57, "to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 13th truth of the unseen world. We're building our confession of Christ by faith. Here's number 13. In Christ, you have an eternal home prepared for you. Boy, you know, heaven gets sweeter the older I become. How about you? I really like John 14:2-3. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Hey, our Father's house is what? The universe! I get so tickled when I read a news report or hear it on TV about how they found more and more galaxies, dark holes. I'm sitting there thinking, well, there's at least one who's not surprised by this, the one who named every one of those stars. In my Father's house are many mansions. The universe is our Lord's house, friends. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also." Friends, we have an eternal home that Jesus is preparing for us. And that's who we are in Christ. That's all. That's who we are in Christ. He thinks enough of us to prepare eternal home. Here's the 14th truth of Christ in the unseen world. You are complete. Christ is all we need. He's more than sufficient. Colossians 2:9, For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, verse 10, and you are complete in him. Isn't it wonderful to know that when this old world busts our chops, we have a confession in Christ like the Apostle Paul, and we can live through the physical world that's busting our chops because we're keeping our eyes on the unseen world. Okay? So, it took two slides for us to get all 14 up here. But here they are, and you can freshen up your notes. And then in a minute, you're going to say this with me, okay? My Christian confession in Christ by faith. In Christ, number one, I'm a new creation. Number two, my sins are forgiven. Number three, I am righteous in Christ. Number four, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number five, I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Number six, I have full access into the Father's presence. Number seven, I am a child of God. Number eight, I am a member of His church, His body. Number nine, I am more than a conqueror. Number 10, I have victory over Satan and all his demons. Number 11, I am eternally secure. Number 12, I have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Number 13, I have an eternal home in heaven prepared for me. And number 14, I am complete. Did you get them all? I don't think I preached on that 11th one now that I think of it. But we have victory over Satan and all his demons. Yeah, I think I did mention it. Well, who feels like they can give that confession of Christ by faith today? If you feel like you can, just stand where you are as the musicians make their way to the platform. After we make our confession, we will have our invitation. But there are some promises for us as the children of the King. Read with me now off the screen or off your bulletin. Let's begin. In Christ, I am a new creation. In Christ, my sins are forgiven. In Christ, I am righteous in Christ. In Christ, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In Christ, I have full access into the Father's presence. In Christ, I am a child of God. In Christ, I am a member of His body. In Christ, I am more than a conqueror. In Christ, I have victory over Satan and all his demons. In Christ, I am eternally secure. In Christ, I have victory over death, hell, and the grave. In Christ, I have an eternal home in heaven prepared for me. In Christ, I am complete. Amen. Now, we're at a place in the service where we trust you're going to be sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit. Because we want to invite those who are here today and not in Christ to come to Christ. Do I get saved by walking the aisle of a Baptist church? No. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now with that belief, it encompasses everything you and I can think of regarding repentance. Confession to the Lord. Repentance. Turn from my way of living and turn to the best of my ability through faith and trust in Jesus to the things of God and His way of living. If you're here today and you don't have this confession of Christ but you want it, you come when they start singing. Don't delay. Still, you might be here today and you know you're saved. The Lord has reminded you today that you've lost sight of that. But praise God, you don't have to walk at a guilty distance any longer. You can come right into His presence. And you want to come and rededicate your life and just testify to how good God has been. Still, there may be some who are here today and want to join this sweet, sweet church. We have a wonderful pastor. We have a wonderful church. Not perfect because they let me join. But this would be a place where God wants you to serve Him. And God's revealed that to you. Then you come. as we sing our hymn of appeal, our song, don't delay now. Come right away.